Let's join in prayer. Speak to us, O God. Speak of ordinary things. Speak of daily things. Speak, heaven forbid, even of tangible things like our commitment to your church family. All for the purpose, O God, of making your kingdom just a little bit closer here on this earth. Amen. Well, if you know me at all, you're probably not surprised to find out that I'm not a real bumper sticker kind of guy. You know, you see the bumper sticker up here, and I maybe once in a while I have an alumni thing on the back of my car, but that's it. That's it. I remember serving a small Rock County church south of Madison, and the youth group wanted to raise some money. And they said, Pastor Scott, we could raise some money if we began selling bumper stickers that says, I kind of heart our United Methodist Church, or Footville United Methodist Church. That was the name of the community. And it was a very sweet idea, very thoughtful idea. I like the spirit behind it. But unfortunately, I also had to remind the youth group members at Footville that probably it was a relatively small congregation, and there probably were not going to be too many of the Roman Catholics and Baptists in town that were going to buy bumper stickers that said that. And so after a little bit of conversation, they decided, well, maybe a pancake dinner would be better after all. So that's what they did. And you know, to be honest, the reason why I think I really don't really like bumper stickers, and I don't know how you feel about them, but they seem to want to always reduce important ideas and important issues to one-liners. And I think we have all found out, no matter how many bumper stickers we have in our car, no one bumper sticker can convey the truth behind some of the ideas that we're trying to express. I remember when this bumper sticker was actually kind of popular. This is an actual bumper sticker, by the way, that Tressie got off the interwebs or whatever you call it. And I remember seeing one of these bumper stickers about honk if you love Jesus. And unfortunately, it was also poised at the same time, centered right between a couple other bumper stickers that I would blush to say what they said to you here in church on Sunday, and I would probably be admonished for the language that I would use to say that. I got to tell you, I was a little tempted to honk to that person, but I was a little concerned also about the response I might get from that person as well. Many of you, like me, remember the horrible events of September 11th, 2001. And you know, even to this day, there are sociologists who look at the events of that day and the immediate aftermath of September 11th, and they talk about and even debate the attendance that churches experienced on September 16th, which would have been the Sunday after that Tuesday. Many churches reported a large increase on that following Sunday, September 16th, larger than usual. Harris Poll said that 82% of Americans either prayed or attended worship on that particular Sunday immediately following the terrorist incidents. I don't know about Crossroads, but I do know the church that I was serving at the time in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, that they had experienced. I think it was like the first Sunday after September 11th was something like 25% increase on that particular Sunday. But then again, a month afterwards, attendance kind of went to where it was prior to. So what do you think that attendance says and that little jump in attendance says about loving Jesus? I think it says something, to me anyway, about the relation between faith and commitment. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad, and I think it was really important for the church to be there in a time of what I think our country felt real crisis at that moment, if you remember those days and that week. And I'm glad the church was there. And I'm glad that people came to the church, albeit for maybe one or two Sundays, for that reassurance that they needed, for any comfort they were looking for, or to be able to express their allegiance to ideas that they thought about sometimes only at Christmas or Easter. But I find just as amazing as the people that came that Sunday, I find what's amazing are the people that are a part of a church family every week, making sure that church can be there in times of crisis and in times of celebration or need. And I guess what I'm trying to say, in essence, is that anybody can honk. Reference the bumper sticker, right? It takes very little commitment to honk. God wants us to show our love. God wants us to demonstrate our love every day, no doubt. But I'm sure that honking probably is not what God had in mind. There are a lot of ways to show our love for Jesus, and many of them, most of them perhaps, involve some form of personal commitment. Commitment to the things, to the ideas, and to the lifestyle that Jesus cherished. Things like compassion and justice and mercy and forgiveness and simplicity. Commitment to a way of life. Commitment of time and talent to the work that Jesus has left for us behind, the work of Christ's church. And yes, also giving commitment and giving our treasure as a way of promoting the kingdom that we believe in and that we want to build. Honking, as admirable as it might be, is not commitment. Anybody can honk. Today, in the scripture reading that I shared with you, Jesus shares a praise for that small offering in the temple, that one, essentially one penny offering compared to everybody else. And Jesus says, "For all of them that contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put everything she had in." What would it be like to be a little bit more like that widow? Most of us are not there with the widow. I'm not there with her at this point in my life yet. And I suspect most of you are not at that point either. So in the meantime, in the interim, we have to kind of decide how and what we're going to give to God's work through a Crossroads family. As you pray and as you consider about the commitments that you're going to make this coming year, you'll be getting in the mail this week a letter from a board member, unless you're a visitor here, and then you wouldn't expect a letter. But you're going to receive an intention of giving card. And as I said, it's going to be mailed early this week. I hope that you will talk about it together. And I also hope that you'll be able to bring it to worship tomorrow as we take time to dedicate that commitment in our lives. I want you to know that filling out an invitation to giving is a call that helps us, or will help us, I hope, to be more fiscally responsible as we look to the year 2020. You remember, it was a year ago that I came, and we were looking to pay the apportionments for 2018, and now 2019, and while it looks as though we have done it for 2018, and we anticipated doing it for this year, what we do in the future and the commitment that we have is largely dependent on what we do this fall. And so we had a very generous contributor that encouraged us to meet a pledge, and that was responded to extremely quickly and generously on your part. But now it's time for us to take on those legs of our own as a church family. And I want you to know, I want you to hear it from me, that these are intentions of giving. They are not blood pledges. Bruno is not waiting in the wings in case you, for some reason, because things happen in life. One of the sad things I remember coming to me is an older guy, this is in a different church, who said, "Pastor Scott, I can't make the commitment that I made on the intention card." And, you know, it just, his life circumstances changed. And so that is understandable. And so when you fill that out, as I said, Bruno is not in the wings waiting to fulfill that contract on you, okay? But those intention cards do carry a good purpose. And that is, they help the church and help the leadership board to think about, in a fiscally responsible way, where we are going as a church family. And it's my prayer that your giving, whatever your giving is, it's my prayer that your giving doesn't give you pride, and it's my prayer that your giving doesn't give you guilt. But I really hope that your giving, whatever it is, whatever you can contribute to Crossroads, I hope that your giving gives you joy. Gives you joy. That, to me, is what it's all about. And I hope that you see your giving not as an obligation, not as an obligation to Crossroads. Heaven forbids, not an obligation to me, right? But I really want you to see what you contribute to the church, not only your abilities and gifts and talents, but fiscally as well. I really would like to have you see that as a part of your own journey of faith, a part of your response to the initiatives God has made in your life. When you give to Crossroads, just as Jane and I are going to be giving as we do each Sunday to Crossroads, it's not about an offering, not plate, but an offering basket. It's not about budgets. It's about faith. It's about people being able to help each other walk a little bit more together with God. And the people of this church, the people of Crosswords, know that God loves them. And that we love God in return. And that we also love the people who live beyond the walls of this church. Because we recognize those people as being children of God. And we recognize those people who are also called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Pastor Leroy was leading worship one Sunday, and he was not doing very well. The people were not responsive that Sunday. It came time to receive the offering, and so Pastor Leroy passed the collection plates, and they came back empty. So he passed them again. Well, what do you do, right? Same thing. Empty. Pastor Leroy went before the people and he said, "Now I know that you all want this church to progress." No response. But before this congregation can progress, it has to learn how to walk. And a couple of people in the front row said, "Make it walk, Rev, make it walk." And after this, after the church has learned how to walk, the church has to get up and run. The church has to get up and be able to run. And the people were starting to begin to respond to this, and they said, "Make it run, Rev, make it run." And then Pastor Leroy said, "Now, brothers and sisters, in order for this church to run, it's going to need money. It's going to take money for this church to run." And the people yelled back, "Let it crawl, Reverend, let it crawl." Pastor Leroy, good intentions aside, had it wrong. It doesn't take just money to get a church to run. It takes faith. Anybody can honk, but it takes a little bit of faith to be a caretaker, a steward for God. And I would hope that this week especially, you keep that in your minds and your prayers, just as I will as well. Amen.